KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action, stories of community service from the campus of Fresno State, with host Chris Fiorentino on Fresno State Radio, 90.7 KFSR.
Buenos dias. Good morning, everybody, and thanks for being here. We are really excited today because we're going to talk to three individuals who were involved in an international service learning project in the Dominican Republic, which has actually been going on for several years now. I'm Chris Fiorentino. I thank you for joining us. My guests today are Professor Miguel Perez, who started this project several years back. Also with us are students Lorena San Pedro and Grecia Lopez, both of whom took part in the most recent iteration of this project last May. So thanks, all three of you, for being here today.
Thank you, Chris. Our pleasure to be here with you this morning.
Miguel, before we get to more specifics about the Dominican Republic project, maybe you'll just tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
I've been at Fresno State for close to 20 years in the Department of Public Health. My passion has always been in the field of health promotion and education, so disease prevention, and that is what I've been doing, working with populations here in the Central Valley, but for the last decade or so, also expanding the scope of my work in the international realm.
Speaking of the international realm, let's talk about this Dominican Republic project. Can you give us a little background? When did it start? Those kinds of things.
Approximately 8 years ago, I had the opportunity to visit the Dominican Republic for the first time, actually as a tourist. You know, The Dominican Republic is a great place for tourism. And that was my first introduction to the Dominican Republic. You know, I came back. I mean, the beautiful area, the beach, the water is warm, and the people are extremely friendly. But I didn't really get a chance to see the other side of life in the Dominican Republic. I was a tourist. I was pampered. I had overwhelming food. And yet, little did I realize that just outside the walls of the place that I was staying, there were people who were needing and wanting. And that was kind of brought to my attention by some local kids who would come in and ask us for food. Mm-hmm. In the resort, of course, they frown upon it. So actually got called on it a few times until my wife and I said, you know, we'll gladly pay for their meals. But it seemed wrong for us to be eating so well and these people just watching us. Mm-hmm. And so after that experience, I was invited by a local university there to go and deliver some trainings in health promotion to professionals. And one of the professors that was in the sections that I was working in, he said, you know, he goes, you speak well, but what are you actually doing to help the most needy?
And he called you out.
Of course he called me out. That's Goldie. And I'm sure Gracia and Lorena will tell you all about Goldie in a few minutes. But so he did call me out on it. And I said, well, I do work in the Central Valley with the disenfranchised populations. And he says, yeah, but when you come to my country, you come as a tourist. He goes, why don't you actually come and do something for us? And I said, well, you know, I haven't had that opportunity. And of course, him being who he is, he goes, let's go out. He goes, let me take you to the field. And he did. And then we realized that there was a need for us to do something. So we started thinking at the professional level, what could we do to bring health service to Haitian immigrants, which is who we work with over there. And at that point in time, we started thinking that he takes his students, his medical students, to the field. And in many cases, these are the only medical services that these populations actually receive. We were doing this for, you know, a couple of days, and he says, why don't you bring your students? And that was the genesis of us actually getting some of Fresno State students to travel all the way to the Dominican Republic to go and actually engage in service learning in that country.
So I love the fact that you talk about, you know, as a tourist, right, you can see a country and you can travel around and, you know, go to the great sites and go to the museums and even read a little bit of history, but you don't know the people and you don't know their living situations until you get out and actually are with those folks outside of the resorts, but beyond the beaches, beyond the museums. And that opportunity for students is something I think that is a real huge learning opportunity. I think that once you travel like that, I wonder how you feel about this. Once you have that experience to travel like that and work with people, a regular vacation, while wonderful, isn't the same anymore. You want to interact with the population, right?
Absolutely. It really does change the way that you look at life. the way that you look at the world, the way that you appreciate the things that we take for granted on a daily basis. Yeah. You know, in the Central Valley during the summer, we complain about how hot it gets. But, you know, we have access to air conditioning. We have access to pools. We can go down to the Central Coast or anywhere else. And when we are in the Dominican Republic with our students, actually get to experience, it's a dichotomy. In the day, we are working with populations that have no electricity, no running water, no toilets, mosquitoes all over the place, hot and dusty, very little shade. You know, so we are out there, we're sweating. And sometimes it's not really entirely pleasant. And then at the end of the day, we come back to these wonderful rooms with air conditioning, which is for us, even those circumstances, it is a dichotomy as to what we experience.
Yeah.
When we are working, it's one side of the coin. When we're actually relaxing, it's completely different.
Best of both worlds. That's great.
I think it is. Yeah, yeah. I enjoyed it.
So give me an idea. I know we're going to talk specifically about what you did this last trip, but in general, what kinds of things are you involved in when you're working there in this service learning project?
All right. So the service learning project has as its goal hands-on delivery of services to needing populations. So our students are actually develop educational strategies, right? Prevention messages. And, you know, when I first start meeting with them and I tell them, you're going to be educating, but they said, do we need to have PowerPoint slides? Well, no. I mean, there's no PowerPoint equipment. There's no electricity. You know, you're going to be talking under a tree. That's, you know, people are going to be coming to you. For many of them, this is the first time that they have thought about a different way of educating.
Mm.
And so that's one of the biggest pieces that we do, is to provide our students an opportunity to provide health education. And granted, the time that we spend with this community is not enough. I don't think it's enough. But we hope that through those efforts, we plant seeds that can germinate and actually be fruitful. For instance, teen pregnancy is very high in these communities. I mean, there's nothing else to do. In many cases, it's a survival mechanism for females. They get attached to an older gentleman who can provide food. And who can blame? I mean, who are we to pass judgment under those circumstances?
Right. We don't live in that culture. We don't know what that life is like.
Yeah. Absolutely. But when we talk to them about protection, to being careful, to using contraceptive methods to prevent unwanted pregnancies, we hope that those messages are, in fact, utilized.
Yeah.
When we talk about mosquito protection with them, we hope that those messages are taken to heart.
Zika is an issue there. Malaria. I don't know what other,
The variety of tropical diseases that are present in there that are transmitted through mosquitoes, things that we never hear here in the U.S., definitely not in the Central Valley. So when we talk about standing water and the need to get rid of, which for us presents a problem because this is the only thing that they have in many cases to drink or to bathe or to wash their dishes. So what can we do to ensure that even those waters that they need are actually safe for them to use?
So 6 years you've taken students to DR?
This was our fifth year. Students to the Dominican
Republic. So 5 years you've done this. You've been teaching for 20. How big of a difference do you see in student learning and student development from a week or two in the Dominican Republic doing this kind of a course versus a semester in a traditional course?
I see a lot of transformation that takes place among our students, Chris, as a result of this experience. When we are in the classroom, I have always tried to provide the best learning experience that I can for my students. Many times I succeed, as many times I don't. However, the ability to actually bring the learning into the field, when I tell my students, we're going to provide educational opportunities, but no PowerPoint, no electricity. You know, it really changes the dynamics of the learning process because now we have to get out of our comfort zone, things that we're accustomed to.
And not hide behind the technology,
And be able to deliver messages and actually make them relevant to the population that we're working with.
Yeah.
So the terminology that we use becomes important. The language that we use, you know, some of my students who are fluent in Spanish, we get to the Dominican Republic and realize that the dialect of Spanish spoken there It's different.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, there is a language barrier. Many of our communities are Creole speaking. They're not even Spanish speaking.
Okay.
So now we have a third language introduced into the equation. I can tell my students about the problems that this presents, but it's not until they actually experience it firsthand that this information becomes real.
And these are problems that they have here, right? We have 112 different primary languages spoken in Fresno Unified, or whatever the number is now. So we have so many different languages spoken right here in the Valley. These are issues that these students will encounter when they go out into the field and they're involved in community health, public health kinds of issues once they graduate, right?
There is no question about it. And I sincerely hope that the lessons that they're learned while in the Dominican Republic, they realize that we have similar issues in the Central Valley. And in fact, many people, when we're speaking to them and they say, oh, we're from the U.S., they think everybody's rich, right? And we go, no, we see some of the same poverty issues that you are seeing here. Maybe not to the extreme that they have them, but we still have needs. But the lessons that those students learn, the empathy that they develop, it's definitely applied when they come back and deliver services to our Central Valley populations.
Love it. Well, Grecia and Lorena, let's get you in here because I want to hear about your experience. So first, maybe just a quick little self-introduction, okay?
My name's Irina San Pedro. I'm currently a senior at Fresno State. I'm a public health major in the option of community. And my career goal, you know, I'm still trying to figure that out. But I know, I feel like after this trip, like I have a different perspective on life and a different career goal just because I want to be able to work in an international level, but definitely still come back to Fresno and give back to my community because I think that's really important.
Great. Gracia, how about you?
My name is Gracia Lopez, and I am a junior here at Fresno State. It's my third year, and I am currently in the process of changing my major to public health. I as well don't know exactly what I want to do in the future. I'm still kind of day-to-day learning about the major and the field and everything.
And opportunities.
Yes. Sure.
That's part of what college is all about.
Yes.
And originally, are you from the Fresno area?
No, I'm from Lemoore.
Okay, so close, Central Valley.
Yeah.
Lorena, how about you? Central Valley?
Yes, I was born and raised in Fresno.
Okay, all right. So first, I guess I'm just curious, how'd you hear about the project and what was it that compelled you to get involved?
I had a friend last year who studied abroad. He actually went to Spain and it was for a business class. And when he came back, he just talked to me about like how he had a great time. He would do it again in a heartbeat and how he said, I recommend you go study abroad because it's definitely life changing. Everyone should experience that in college. I said, you know what? Okay, I should. Why not? I should. So I started looking into different study abroad programs. You know, I'm going to be honest, I wanted to go to Europe. So I started looking at other classes, but none of the classes really stood out to me. And none of them said, oh, yes, that's where I want to go. And then I also wanted to take a class that would benefit me.
Yeah.
You know, just not take the class just because, you know, because I was going to go to Europe. No, I wanted to take a class that would benefit me. So I started looking into the public health classes and I came across the Dominican one and I said, wow, this is different from the other classes because I heard it was more of a hands-on. It's not your typical classroom where you go sit down in a classroom for a couple hours. You know, this is something different. And I love that. So, and then I saw, you know, why not? The Dominican, that's something different. Not a lot of people say, oh yeah, you know, I went to the Dominican Republic. And then a grad student actually came into one of my classrooms and gave a presentation, and I was sold. I said, you know, sign me up. I'm going next year in the summer. And that's how I came across it. And then I started talking to Dr. Perez and his passion that he had for the Dominican, and I think really pushed me to do it.
Great. Gracia?
Ever since I was in high school and like senior, I started thinking of all the things I wanted to do in college. And my first one on the list was studying abroad. So I knew ever since then that I wanted to study abroad. I just didn't know where. And I also know that I want to do like a missionary trip at some point in my life. But I thought of that like more on beyond like my years after my career or something. And I didn't know where, like Africa or somewhere, right? And I remember coming into Fresno State of all the like emails that I would get for studying abroad opportunities. And so they were as well also like Europe and Spain and all of these tourist countries that, you know, you wouldn't really do the same thing as you would do in the Dominican Republic, that it was more of a mission trip. Mm-hmm. So I heard about this program through the email that they sent. And I didn't know that I would go this year. I was thinking more of like later on in college after I graduated or senior year. And I remember I was in Dr. Perez's class a year before. and I saw his presentation of a Chile trip that he was planning, and that's when it caught my attention. So that whole year I've been thinking about something like this. So when I saw the email, I was like, this is perfect. And I was also looking into what major I wanted to switch into, and public health was one of my options. So I was like, oh, this is perfect. I'll get to know like students from the same major and decide whether this public health major is right for me or not.
Right. So I got to read the report from your team when you came back, and I know a little bit about the project. So you're working hand in hand, side by side with the Dominican Republic medical students on many occasions. You were doing lots of different projects while you were there, working on providing water filtration programs for the residents of the Batay, and want to talk a little bit about what that is. Solar ovens, distributing food, clothes, mosquito nets, insect repellent, doing health education, and something called WAPIS, W-A-P-I-S. What's a WAPI?
When they first introduced it, I had no idea what that was. They just told me that I would have to go house and house at the Batay's and distribute them and also give them a presentation of what it was. And so a WAPI is just like a small plastic looking thing with a string hanging, like a fishing string. And I was like, what are they going to use this for? And they told me that it would be to clean or filter the water more. And so I was like, how does this work? So they taught us a presentation of how they would use it is pour their water. So majority of the people use tap water there. They use it for bathing, for food, drinking, you know. So they would pour the water in their pot and put the WAPI inside, and they would boil it, and it would tell them when the water was more clean and ready to be used.
It's like an old-fashioned egg timer, right? It pretty much tells you that, okay, this is ready now to be able to drink. It's safe. It's had enough time at a certain heat to boil off the bacteria or other kinds of protozoa or whatever else. I'm curious, so of those projects, and we talked about the Batay's, right? Maybe, Lorena, just explain to the listeners real quick, what's a Batay?
That's what they call the community that we went to. A lot of these Haitian immigrants live in, they call it the Batay's. A lot of these Haitian immigrants work in sugarcane fields. So they're surrounded by sugarcane, and then they have like their small little houses all around, and that's right. Their community, and that's what they were called.
Like little migrant
encampment.
So we talked about all these projects. What was maybe one of them that stood out to you that you either enjoyed the most or you felt was the most challenging or what?
I would say definitely the water filters and the distribution of food, just because I feel like everyone should have access to clean water and food. No one should die of hunger or not have access to clean water. So when it came down to water filters, we could only make so much and we only had so much. And one of the things is when we went out to these Batay's, we never knew how many people were going to be there. First, we didn't know how many people were going to be there. Uh-huh. We had a limited amount of water filters. And so, you know, the question came down, it's like, who's going to get a water filter? Mm. So that's hard to kind of pick and choose who's going to get a water filter. And, you know,
I mean, these are not 20 people in one of these.
No. Lots. There's like about 50 people there. Yeah. So, and we only had like maybe like 20 water filters. So it came down to, okay, how are we going to distribute this? And we would ask Dr. Perez, Dr. P, what are we going to do with the water filters? And then he'd be like, he would say, well, you guys are public health students. You guys figure it out.
So, I like it, right? You know, you learn right, by figuring things out.
Right. And then he would say, okay, now put your public health skills to the test. You read about it, and your professors would tell you when you come across a problem, this is what you should do, or think about what you should do. And then when it came down, you know, we would get together all the students and we're like, okay, so how are we going to do this? You know, what should we do? And then we came down to the households that had little ones, little kids, those should be our main priorities. They should have access to those water filters. Mm, okay. So I know they would go to the households and ask like how many kids were living there and what were their age. And then that's how they were able to distribute their water filters. And the sad thing is people would come up to us and be like, why didn't I get one? And it's like, how do you say we ran out? Or how do you say, no, you can't have one?
Yeah, it's a challenge. There are limited resources, right. And you've got to deal with that.
Right. And then with the food, too, we only made certain bags of food. So we came to another obstacle where we didn't have enough food. So we had to improvise and make more bags, you know, kind of take out food from other ones to make more. And that was challenging, too, because not everybody was able to get a bag. Food.
Yeah. So Garcia, there was this leadership component in this year's trip. Can you briefly tell us a little bit about that project and what you did as part of your leadership development experience?
It was 14 students and everyone got assigned a leadership role, whether it was that you were in charge of food distribution, WAPI, toys or clothes or whatever it was. And mine was mosquito nets. So I just had to figure out how we were going to distribute it. And then once I figured that out, at the hotel, every afternoon, we would all gather up. And that's where we would make the water filters. We would plan how we would distribute the clothes or whatever it was. And so we went to four bateys. Okay. And at each one, we calculated about 50-ish homes. So we had a little bit less than 200 mosquito nets. So the only way that we can try to evenly distribute it was one mosquito net per household. Mm-hmm. But even then, we had more people than what we expected. So other people would be coming home from work and then they would like come up to us and ask us for mosquito nets. And yeah. We didn't have more to give them. So that was just also a challenge to distribute.
Certainly an indication of even the resources that a group like this brings down don't even begin to scratch the surface, that it's the work that you're doing there is very important and vital, but you can't serve everyone. So the need is much greater than the resources that you can bring down, which is a call out to everyone who's listening to consider how might you be able to support projects like this, whether it be a project like this in the Dominican Republic through Fresno State or any international project. Now, it doesn't take very much money to provide these WAPIs or the mosquito nets or anything else.
And everything makes a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I'm wondering, overall, what was the international service experience like for you? I mean, do you feel like you gained a lot from this experience?
Yes, specifically from this service learning project that I did. I feel like it's different from how when you see like poverty on TV or you hear about it in newspapers, books, or whatever you read about it. It's different when you have it firsthand, when you're seeing kids starving with having no shoes, no clothes, and you're just there like wanting to give them everything you can. Or like just take him home with you or everything. Yeah. That's the hardest part for me. So I feel like this firsthand experience was like definitely like life changing.
Lorena, how about you? Was it a really powerful experience for you? Are you really glad you got involved? What was it like?
Definitely. No doubt about it. I mean, how she mentioned, I feel like it changed my perspective on things and I really appreciate things. I came back and I appreciated that we have clean water. You know, I can go to a different building and I can go fill my hydro flask. I can go buy a bottle of water. I can drink tap water.
Yeah.
I can drink
yeah.
tap water without getting sick. Yeah. And these poor people, you know, unfortunately.
Yeah, we run around and spend billions of dollars a year on bottled water, which is all fine and good if that's what you choose to do. But we don't need to. And they have this situation right. where they're having to boil their water or filter their water.
Or in the situation where they're dehydrated, you know, they have to drink water in order to fix that. But they know they're going to get sick from the
yeah.
water.
Wow.
And that's the unfortunate thing. But it really makes me appreciate the little things in life. And makes me want to give back. How can I do more? You know, first finish school, get a career where I'm able to give back to people who truly need it.
Miguel, before we go, I'm just curious, what's the future hold? You've done this 5 years now. What's the future hold? How can people get more information? You know, what if they're interested in either supporting the work that you're doing? Is there going to be another trip?
Yes, thank you for that opportunity to actually share that information, Chris. We are planning another trip for next year. The tentative dates that we have are June 22nd to July 2nd, 2019.
Okay.
And we're hoping to have another group of outstanding students like the ones who have already joined
yeah.
us. In fact, I know one of them said that she's going back already.
Awesome.
So
Gracia
we already have
that.
Gracia,
yeah.
She already has one of the 15 spots available. So only 14 left. And one of the things that we're hoping to do, Chris, is to get the word out for more individuals to know what we're doing there and how they can become involved. We have been very fortunate over the past few years to get community partners involved. The Friends for Civic Engagement has been really wonderful
yeah,
in support
shout
of
out
our
to
program.
Those donors like Friends for Civic Engagement.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
This year, the WAPIs were something that was donated by one of
yeah.
the rural clubs here in town. The clothing is donated by the Pink Cow, which is a thrift shop here in town.
Wesley United Methodist.
Yes.
Yeah.
Condoms also provided by international organizations that does teen pregnancy prevention. So we are hoping that we can continue to grow the number of partners that can either join us as we are traveling or can provide some financial support. The cost of the program is an issue for some of our students.
Sure.
So we're hoping that this year we can do some fundraising in regards to trying to bring those costs down for the students. Although the main focus, of course, is going to be to provide services to the communities.
Yeah.
For people who want more information, I am more than happy to answer any questions they may have. They can call my office, 278-2897.
Yeah, 559-278-2897. 2897,
sure. Yes. I think I forgot the yeah. error code. Or they can reach us through email at Emperez, M-P-E-R-E-Z, at csufresno.edu. And we do maintain a website for the program. But if you reach out to us, we'll be glad to send it out. It's batayhealth.wordpress.org.
So that's B-A-T-Y health.wordpress.
.wordpress, okay, correct.
Right. And we'll post a link to that on our Facebook site at FS Service in Action. So if any of the listeners are curious to get more information, and certainly we'll post, Miguel, your contact information on there as well. We've done several shows on Fresno State's international service learning trips. We did a show on last year's Dominican Republic trip. Unfortunately, Miguel wasn't able to be there because he had knee surgery and couldn't be with us. So we're really happy to have you here because a lot of the background was really informative to me. But we've got these other trips to Fiji and Tanzania, Dominican Republic, others. And they're time intensive, right? They take a lot of your time. They take a lot of resources. It's expensive for the students and the faculty to travel down there and then all of the resources like you've talked about. But I think that the learning experience for faculty as well as for students is really extraordinary. So I want to thank you, Miguel, for putting in the time and the effort to lead these kinds of trips. And thank you to Lorena and Grecia for really saying, you know, yeah, I'm not going to just look for an opportunity to go to Spain and travel and go to museums. I want to go do something and invest in something that's really going to be meaningful for me, not just personally, but also just socially and good for our community. So thank you very much. I want to, again, thank our three guests today, Miguel Perez, Grecia Lopez, and Lorena San Pedro. And thanks to all of you who are listening today. Please join us again next Sunday morning at 11 for another Fresno State Service in Action program on KFSR. And as I mentioned before, please go to that Facebook site, like us at FS Service in Action. We are Fresno State Service in Action, and we're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at KFSR.org. Thanks and have a great day.
KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action every Sunday morning at 11. For a complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.